morning, everybody. This first reading is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 9, and it's on page 1144 in the Bibles. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. To the Church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a thanksgiving. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42, and it may be found on page 1064 in your pew Bibles. John testifies about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I, myself, did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." John's disciples follow Jesus. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Now we just invite John Chandler to come and give his sermon. Look carefully, see what's there. Just pray for the words that John is about to give us. Open our eyes to see what is not there. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Right. I'd like you to imagine that you are a courier, a delivery driver, and you've been given a package to take to London, about that big, okay? And you carry it, you're told that it's some old stones and some twisted metal, but it's important, okay? Old stones, twisted metal, but important. And you're told to go to this address in London, and you get there, and you find that in this street called Hatton Garden, it is a jeweller's. You walk in and you plonk it onto the glass cabinet desk in front of you, and the person behind the desk says, "Thank you very much, stay around, I want to make sure it's still okay." So they open it up and they get it out. And the old stones are diamonds and rubies and emeralds and topaz. And the twisted metal is gold and silver and platinum, which makes a setting for the stones. And what you've got is a crown. And you've been carrying it. You didn't know. And the person says to you, "Tell me what you see." He says, "Well, I see diamonds, some large, some small, but all intricately done." "Yes, but what do you see?" "Well, as well as that, I see metal which is very finely crafted. Every little bit is in exactly the right place to make it all look right." "Yes, but what do you see?" "Well, I see a crown." "Good," he said. "Now tell me what you don't see." "What do you mean?" "Oh, I see. I don't see who it's for." "Exactly," he said. "It's for King Charles." "Oh, really? Oh, wonderful. I've been holding something that's so precious." Why do I tell you all of that? Because in this book of ours, which is only thin paper with black marks on it, yeah, is something really precious. What do you see? "Well, I see words." "Yes, but what do you see?" "I see the words inspired by God. Every single one intricately put together to make a wonderful whole. I see." "But what do you see?" "I see the Bible." "Good. But what can't you see?" "I can't see who it's intended for." "Let me tell you, it's for you." How do I know that? Because near the end of the Gospel of John, it says, "Jesus did many other remarkable signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Just remember those three words, Son of God. What? Right. So why am I telling you all of that? Because in the reading that we've got today, it's very finely crafted. Not a day is missed. Not a day is not relevant in Jesus' ministry once he started. Because our reading starts the next day. And in verse 35, the next day. And in verse 43, straight after our reading, the next day. And not a word in John's Gospel is wasted. So what I want you to do is to see what you see and see what you don't see. So what do we read? We read some wonderful words in here. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look.'" What did he say? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What don't you see? You might not see what he means when he says the Lamb of God. Because what they would know when they read, the Jews that were there, when they read the Lamb of God, when they hear him say, look, the Lamb of God, they would realize that he's talking about the sacrificial lamb, the one who dies, because without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. They know that. Why was that set up in the first place? To look forward to the Messiah, so that someone would eventually say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the man. This is the one you've been waiting for centuries, the Messiah. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit of God come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And then all through that, if you were to read John 1 and then on, you'll keep seeing saw. And a bit later on, when you get Andrew and Peter and so on, you see Andrew saying, Jesus, where are you staying? He says, come and see. And then a bit later on, the disciples are told, come and see again. It's all about looking and seeing. Now, when you see the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove, what are you seeing? Well, we didn't see it, but John did, so we believe him. Well, can I tell you what you didn't see? You did not see a dove landing on Jesus. It says, like a dove. What John says he saw was the Spirit of God descending on Jesus as a dove. As if it were a dove. What is he actually seeing then? Well, I think he's seeing something physical, which is something spiritual, which is the Holy Spirit around Jesus and in Jesus, and something happening around it that's physical, like a fluttering around Jesus' head. You get the picture? So it's like a dove. And I'd like to take away from you the picture you've got. I want you to not see a dove landing on Jesus. All right? And I can take it away in one little phrase. Because the word in Greek that is used for dove is also the word they use for pigeon. You got it? So take that picture away from you. Okay? Imagine John looking at Jesus and seeing something like maybe a halo or some sort of fluttering in the atmosphere around him. Just like, say, as if it was a dove flying around. Yeah? And John knows it's God's Holy Spirit entering him. Why is that important? Well, in John, everything is important. And what we're reading there is the fact that Jesus' baptism was important in Jesus' ministry. But look again and see what you don't see. You don't see Jesus' baptism. Yes, we know that it was at the occasion of Jesus' baptism, and this is John the Baptist, for heaven's sake, when we saw the Spirit descend. But the account of the baptism is not there. Either Jesus coming out of the water, having been baptized by John, or those wonderful words, the booming sound from God, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It's not there. It is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. It is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. It is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, but it's not in John's Gospel. Why on earth not? Is that a coincidence or what? I can't believe it is, and I'll prove it in a minute. There's another occasion in the Bible where we hear those words, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. Do you know where that is? The Transfiguration. Two occasions where we see God the Father speaking about Jesus in the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy One of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And at the Transfiguration, that was a private gathering with only Peter, James, and John there. The baptism was a public occasion. But the Transfiguration is mentioned in Matthew's Gospel, and in Mark's Gospel, and in Luke's Gospel, but it's not in John's Gospel. Why? Can't be a coincidence, and I'll prove it in a minute. Why isn't it there? When John was there, Peter, James, and John, he was there, and yet he doesn't record it. Why not? Well, if you read most of the commentaries, what you'll read is, it's not there because when John was writing his Gospel in about 90 AD or something, the other three Gospels have been written, so in effect he's saying, read the others first, then read mine and read something better. But I think it's not that. This is my reason. I think John does not want to say that the only two occasions you will read in the Bible that the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus were together were baptism and the Transfiguration. Because he wants to say that God is spirit, that Jesus, in whom was the Holy Spirit even before his birth, he was born of the Spirit, for heaven's sake. All of those were always present, not only in Jesus all the time, but in all of creation all of the time, and into eternity beyond time. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always together, not only indivisible, but always present throughout the earth, always. Which is why John starts his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was in the beginning with God, and nothing was made without him. Nothing that has been made was made without him. And in him is light, and that light is the light of men. You remember those words, don't you? Go back to the beginning of Genesis. From the very beginning, you read the words, in the beginning. The same three words as John uses to start his Gospel. And of course, we hear God's word, don't we? Because God didn't have arms, his spirit. He says, let there be light, which is important in John's Gospel, as I've just spoken. And there was light, because God's word is his action. So John is saying, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is there from creation into eternity, not just on those occasions. And everything John says in his scripture is there to show that Jesus is God. Not that he is God's son, but he is God. Now I'd like to show you something else you can't see. On our screen when we saw John's Gospel there, I don't know whether you saw, but it said, John says, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. New International Version, just pick this up from here. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. New International Version, 2009 Version. I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one. Why two different translations? Right, this is what you can't see. What those words mean, and both are right, of course, it goes back to who Jesus is. This is my beloved son. So what's a beloved son? Firstborn son in those days inherited the estate. Got the lion's share of all the assets, but mainly inherited the task of being the head of the family. Yeah? And when the father in any Jewish family says, this is my beloved son, this is my chosen heir, after that moment, every decision that the son makes commits the father. Right? Not only that, but any action by the Son is seen by the world as the action of the Father, which means that the Father can now retire and the sun takes over, but he's still alive. So God is saying, this is my chosen one, my son. In other words, all of my authority resides in Jesus from the start of his ministry. And not only that, any action by the Son is seen as the action of the Father. There is no difference between the action of the Son and the action of the Father. So as the Spirit is living in Jesus, so is the Father. Isn't that wonderful? And therefore, John is keen to say that not only in this scripture is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indivisible altogether, always. Not only in Jesus is Father and Son indivisible always, but in you is Father, Son, Holy Spirit indivisible always. How about that? Now, when you pray, who do you pray to? Do you say, Father in heaven, sort me out, give me my daily bread, forgive me, don't take me into temptation, and you're all the glory? Or do you say, Jesus, you've lived where I've lived, you've gone through it all and more, Lord, help me in my issues? Do you say, Holy Spirit, fill me so that I can be the person you want me to be? Yes, you are. But what I'll tell you what you're not doing is you are choosing which God to pray to. We can often think that, can't we? We can have a picture in our minds of Jesus that we can see. A unique picture nobody else can see, because it's our eyes, our imagination. But we're not praying to one of three gods, because there is one God. Three persons, but one God. What we're saying is, Almighty God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray to you, the source of all power and creation. I worship you, I need your help, and because you in Jesus came, you can do that. And because you're Holy Spirit, you, God, who is Spirit, are living in me, I can do all things through Christ, through the Father, through the Spirit who strengthens me. Right. God lives in you, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are intricately made, read Psalm 139. You are so precious to God. Everything about you is not just flesh and bones. Everything about you is finely crafted. Everything about you is a jewel. And in you is the crown of life. Amen.